building is Peter Narrett's building. It's Scott Verda. It's Lotus Park. And it's both day. And it's various other. Now, I was singing there several times, and so I didn't have a chance to look up something to read. What should we read today? Yes.
I was thinking, since we had the theater just recently, I was thinking of King Pataparuga and the meeting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
Just briefly.
Give me the chapter. not just the chapter. Give me the verse number. Oh, let me just... Well, we were actually the other evening reading about the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. It's kind of connected there. I can't remember what chapter it is exactly. Where Lord Chaitanya, it was during the Rath Yatra?
Yeah, during and before.
And before?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anyway, well, actually, that's true. In the chapter about the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, there's the first discussion, I think. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Yes, okay. We will read then from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila chapter 12, which is titled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. And there's a series, it looks like about 17 or 18 verses or so. In which there's a discussion about at least King Prataparudra's initial desire to meet Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, it's a number of verses. Bear with us as we read through some of them. I'll just read the Bengali for a few. Purve dakshina haite prabhuyabe aila tanre milite gajapati utkantita haila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South Indian tour, Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, became very anxious to meet him. Kataka haite patri dila sarva boma tani prabhura agya haya yadi dehi bare yai. The king sent a letter from his capital, Cuttack, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission so that he could go and see him. Bhattacharya Likhila Prabhur Agya Na Haila Purarapi Raja Tanre Patri Pataila. Replying to the king's letter, the Bhattacharya wrote that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission for the king to meet him. After this, the king wrote him, meaning Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, another letter. Prabhura Nikate Ache Yatavaktagana Moralagi Tan Sabare Kariha Niveda. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf. Say Sabha Dayalu More Hada Sadaya Mora Lagi Prabhupade Karibe Vinaya. If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. He says, say Sabha Dayalu More. If all of them are merciful to me. And we have with us here today one devotee named Dayal Chaitanya. Hare Krishna means Lord Chaitanya, who is very merciful. Tansabara Prasade Mile Sri Prabhura Paya Prabhu Kripa Vina Mora Raja Naki Baya. Can you follow that, you Hindi speakers? Can you follow that? I mean, I know it's Bengali, but still, it's pretty straightforward, yeah? Prabhu Kripa.
Prabhu comes to me, your mercy.
Prabhu means Lord Chaitanya. Vina, without Mora. Raja Nahi. Anyway, let's just read the translation. but it's nice. I find, do you know what I find fascinating? Sometimes. Trying to figure out what's the translation of the verse in the class. I don't understand well at all. Trying to figure out what it means. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without his mercy, Lord Chaitanya, without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. Yadi more kripa na karibe gorahari raja chadi yogi hai haiba bikari. If Gorahari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door. You see this cloth which the sannyasis wear from the neck, sort of in front somewhere at across the chest and around the back. It is for begging. Yeah. And so sannyasis are called bhikkhari, beggars, which is the word used here. Bhattacharya Patri Deki Chetita Hana Bhaktagada Pasha Gela Se Patri Lana. When the Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. I'll just read the translations. Sarvabho Bhattacharya met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see the king Prataparudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees gave their opinion and said, "The Lord will never meet the king. The Lord will never meet the king. And if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy." I think the implication is very unhappy with us for suggesting it. Sarvabho Bhattacharya then said, "We shall go once again to the Lord, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king." You know, these devotees are very subtle and they're very intelligent. They're very profound. Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not even utter a word. After they arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, the Lord, seeing them, said, "What have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason?" Nityananda Prabhu said, the Lord Nityananda was there. Nityananda Prabhu then said, "We want to tell you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we're still very much afraid to speak. We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. A lessee sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant." Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Let us just read the purport. All these other verses we just read don't have purports. This one has a purport. In India, there is still a class of professional mendicants who are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical processes, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading and sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanapata yogis. The word kanapata refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Pratapuruja was so depressed by not getting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Pratapuruja also thought that to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring. Let us say a few words about this. You know, the story goes on, it goes on. For some, quite some way. But, very interesting, isn't it? On one hand, the determination of the king, and you know, I think the majority of you would be well aware that actually Maharaj Pratapuruja, he was a great devotee, he was already a great devotee, and in due course Lord Chaitanya did agree to meet with him, or kind of be connected with him at least. It's a long story, and there were different stages it went through, but eventually during the Ratha Yatra, at one point chariot stopped and Lord Chaitanya went into a garden. Lord Chaitanya went into a garden to rest, and he was resting there, was very fatigued from amazing dancing in the kirtan. Just amazing. So he laid down, and King Pratapuruja came dressed just like some ordinary person from the street, and he recited the Gopi Gita, the song of the gopis when they were separated from Lord Krishna in the Rasa dance, which is there in, it is actually a chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this beautiful, very beautiful song, the gopis in separation and appealing to the Lord for his mercy and appreciating the Lord and expressing their great, great, innumerable and unlimited desires to associate with Krishna and serve him. So Maharaj Pratapuruja, then he recited those verses. Well, he didn't just recite them. First thing is, he knew them. He knew those verses. We as aspiring devotees ourselves, we should try to learn some verses. Don't start with the Gopi Gita, although, you know, we can start with Bhagavad Gita. It's also a Gita. Bhagavad Gita learns some of the basic verses which are relevant for presenting Krishna consciousness to people. And then go on, learn some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of you know Srimad Bhagavatam 111? We have a Shastri. You know it also, did you say? No? Okay. It's a difficult verse. It's a very difficult verse, but it's really amazing verse. So then we should learn some verses from the Bhagavatam, some from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and when you learn some verses like that, then you can read, then you can learn the Gopi Gita. It's, you know, it takes after some time. But it's really beautiful. And Lord Chaitanya was lying there, very fatigued, transcendentally, of course, because his body is Sat Chit Ananda. And when you have a Sat Chit Ananda body, spiritual body, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, then you cannot really get tired. No matter how hard you try to serve or dance, but you can't get tired. The gopis were dancing with Krishna for a night of Brahma. That's, you know, 4 billion, 320 million years. And they didn't even, the time was flying so much they didn't notice it. But the thing is, they just kept on and on because they had spiritual bodies. And despite dancing very energetically with the Lord, not just, you know, right, left, right, the Swami stable, but really dancing and flying and just amazing. So that was going on all night, but still they didn't get tired. So how could Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, get tired, even though he had really been dancing wildly for some hours, some of our hours? But this is the pastime of the Lord. So Maharaj Prataparudra recited those beautiful verses, the song of the gopis, in separation from the Lord. In other words, expressing his own feelings of separation, really. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated it so much that he's lying there on his back. And when King Prataparudra finished, Lord Chaitanya just sat up and just grabbed him and embraced him. And he said, Burida Jana, Burida Jana, you are the most merciful person. Burida, you're giving mercy. Da means to give. You are the most merciful person, the most merciful person. So that was the real, you know, first really substantial manifestation of mercy he got from Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, as we see here, even though he's a devotee and he's so determined and dedicated and he really wants to get the lotus feet of the Lord, to get that shelter, but Lord Chaitanya, as a strict, very strict sannyasi, wouldn't meet with him. Just wouldn't meet. Even when requested by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a very close associate, and was like a confidant, confidential, intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was to Lord Chaitanya, he was like that devotee. Well, there was also Ramananda. They were two of the very closest circle, like that devotee who, when you have a problem, you may go to that devotee and say, phew, if you're South African. Phew, don't know what to do. It's time, it's red. Please give me some encouragement and help me. Yes, even though he was so, so close to Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya was so extremely highly principled that he thought, this man's a king, I'm a sannyasi, and sannyasis cannot meet pounds, shilling, and pence men, paisa and rupee, rands and cents men. We cannot meet them. So, let him become a mendicant. This is how the discussion develops. Let him become a mendicant then. Which is a big thing, you know. In other words, this is blackmail. What the king is trying to do, in a certain sense, is blackmail. You know, you do this or else. And it's a big thing. Because the government, he was the king, and he was really the king. He was not a constitutional monarch who just comes and waves to people sometimes and supports charities. He was ruling the country. And if he just dropped out, it probably would have been some political, social chaos in many, many ways. So, but Lord Chaitanya told him, Sarvabhauma, that, sorry, let him become a mendicant. I cannot compromise my principles. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was very extreme in his principles. He wouldn't meet the king, at least initially, and even there's a whole process. Eventually, before the incident I mentioned in the garden, eventually Lord Chaitanya agreed, all right, I will meet the son of the king. I'll meet the son of the king. And then he sent a piece of his cloth for the king. So, and Lord Chaitanya, you know, he wouldn't meet with ladies at all, really. So he maintained, he was highly, highly principled in terms of the sannyas ashram, and even to the point that we, at this point, we cannot really emulate that. You know, we had, well, Indra Dhumna Maharaj met the king. He's a bit of a constitutional monarch. Well, I don't know really what his function is, but I think KwaZulu-Natal is ruled by the ANC more than him. But anyway, you know, to preach Krishna consciousness, we would like to meet such people. Anyway, it doesn't mean that we've sacrificed our principles. It's a matter of time, place, and circumstance for preaching. But the point is, in principle, and this is a very important point for all of us, that devotees are people of principle. And of course we know devotees, serious devotees at least, are people who follow regulative principles, the four regulative principles. And yes, devotees are people of principle. Chant 16 rounds a day. Generally, at least, you know, those who are trying to practice more seriously, of course, and even those who are not up to that stage, but we encourage strongly, chant a few rounds, X number of rounds a day, whatever it may be, depending on your situation. This is all principle. And in general, as the Bhagavatam says, that the Lord, Sri Krishna, who is the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of, who can tell me?
Truthful.
Is that what you said? The truthful, yeah. Sri Krishna, who's the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee. So, this is another principle. Devotees are very truthful, honest people. Devotees are not cheats or liars or all that sort of thing. So this is a principle. And there are many principles which the devotees maintain. And this is part of what distinguishes the devotees from the common people. Because common people, in one sense, at least, of course some of them have some principles to some degree, it depends really, but many of them, their principle is, if it feels good, do it. This is the principle. How do I feel? How can I feel better? If it feels good, do it. I remember when I was young, when I was sort of 21, something like that, one of my favorite popular groups of the day, musical people, put out an album called that. If it feels good, do it. And they were very popular, and my friends were saying, hey, yeah, that's right. That's it. That's it. That's the approach to life. If it feels good, do it. So not all materialistic people are quite on that level, but many are. So, but devotees have principles, and devotees really stick to their principles. I remember when I was coming from New Zealand to England at the end of 1972, I was on a ship, a passenger liner. In those days, it was not common for people to fly, you know, from New Zealand to England. It's exactly the other side of the world. So it was quite common for people to go on a boat. So I went on a boat, took a month, and on the boat I met one young man, a few people, who are spiritually minded, and I met one young man, he was British, and we were talking about, I was saying, yes, well, when I arrive in London, I'm going to go and visit different spiritual places, the Buddhists, and the this and the that. And he said, okay, but you must visit the Hare Krishnas. And he said, because they practice what they preach. So we should remember this, that generally what we're doing, we should generally only do things which, if other people do them, they'll be sort of naturally Krishna conscious. Yeah, like that. In other words, we shouldn't have our secret life. As we were saying the other night in the Chudagoranga Prabhu's place, one of the anathas, more subtle anathas, is kutinati, which Prabhupada translates as diplomacy, being hypocritical. At the temple you dress up nicely, dhoti and kurta, nicely ironed, tilak on, oh, bead bag on the hand, and you know, using it. And people think, oh, look, it's a nice clothing. But as soon as we get home, close the door from the inside, look around to make sure no one sneaked in, and on comes, well, you name it.
Days were alive.
Have we learnt your weakness? Yeah, whatever it is, you know, some Bollywood familiarity. When I was in Bombay, what was it? It was early to mid February. Big billboards, you know, Bollywood. Kai Po Che. Has it reached South Africa? It hasn't. Watch out. It was the latest Bollywood thing at the time. Kai Po Che. So yeah, we're getting something like that. That's a bit critical. So, and you know, and we think, we think nobody will know. Door's locked. Who can see? Don't worry. Krishna is everywhere. And if he wants others to know, they'll find out by his arrangement. Walls have ears and eyes. So, yeah. So, we should, and Lord Chaitanya was practically, you could say, going out of his way to maintain very high principles. So any time, night or day, if anyone just happened to appear on the spot and see what he was doing, they would just naturally see something very nice and Krishna conscious, which was an example for them. So we should try. You know, obviously we're not on that level like Lord Chaitanya, but in our ways, we should try to maintain the standards of our ashrams. Everyone here, at least the great majority, I think perhaps all of you, are practicing devotees. So everybody is in an ashram of some sort. Brahmachari or Brahmacharini. Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyas. We should try and understand the principles, the standards of our ashram, and conform to them, so that when others see us, and you never know when someone's just going to walk in on you at that unexpected time, then they'll see, ah, this is how to be Krishna conscious. I know it's exactly such a suitable story, but Giriraj Maharaj told me a story years and years and years ago. That he visited London. Actually, I was there, and he came and visited the manor and gave class. I think he was still a brahmachari, actually. And so, you know, it was in the 70s. And he had come to visit some special people. He was walking down Oxford Street, which is the main street. It's the West Street of London. Walking down Oxford Street. And who should walk out of a whoopee bar? If you know what that is. If you don't, very good. But a hamburger bar. But the son of one very pious family from Bombay, who were great supporters of the movement and just, you know, basically devotees. And this boy walked out of the hamburger bar and more or less literally just walked into Maharaj. Talk about when you least expected to meet a person. And there they are on the street in central London. They had last seen each other in Bombay some time before. And Maharaj said the young man looked at him, he's like in disbelief. And the young man said, even before he said, "Hello, how are you? What a surprise to see anything of that sort." The young man said, "English cows are different from Indian cows." But, you know, watch out for your deep, dark secrets. Watch out for your deep, dark secrets, because Krishna's in control. And you must know, Krishna likes you. Krishna likes all the devotees. He really does. And part of that liking is, he wants to help you, and he will help you. And sometimes he'll help by bringing something out in public which, you know, in your deep, deep, dark moment, you would prefer not. So therefore, they're not really secrets in Krishna consciousness. Not for long. So Lord Chaitanya, he maintained high principles, and we should. And talking about learning verses, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, by the time he was 7, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, next point which comes out, and the purport we read of course addresses this, is that King Prataparudra, he was suggesting, "I'm going to become a mendicant, I'm just going to give everything up and just sort of become a street person. If Lord Chaitanya will not accept me and meet with me and be merciful." Prabhu Kripa Vina Mona. If I am without the mercy of the Lord. So, he thought, you know, perhaps he was a devotee, but perhaps not so well educated as a devotee. He thought that becoming a mendicant means you must wear earrings. And there's a particular type of earring, ivory. Now, any devotees, I mean male devotees, were wearing earrings. Hare Krishna. Please, don't take it personally. And you're probably not wearing an ivory earring. But at least, let me put it this way. If you're a brahmachari or a bhakta living in the temple, don't wear earrings. Ivory or otherwise. Yeah? Oh, okay. What if my God's going to wear one? A nice. Okay. So, yeah. In other words, you get these sannyasis, or mendicants at least, and they just wander around, but they're not maintaining the principles. And as a result of that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, that by his time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, because of all these people who were not maintaining the principles of Krishna consciousness, but externally they're showing themselves as if they're Vaishnavas, but they were so obviously not maintaining principles, by the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was generally held, thought by cultured people and intelligent people, that Vaishnavism, and particularly Gaudiya Vaishnavism, was, as Prabhupada called it, Prabhupada said, a beggar's excuse for making a living. So, you know, to come down to that level, that's very low. But at least we should understand what are the principles for my ashram, and then we should maintain those. Be we brahmachari, brahmacharini, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. And of course there are general principles also, like being truthful, honest, which was mentioned there in that verse from the first canto we referred to. Yeah. So we should be like that. Now, so Lord Chaitanya was maintaining his principles super strictly. And he was refusing to see Maharaj Prataparudra. But he did eventually accept Maharaj Prataparudra. And, you know, they met there, as we mentioned, and then he accepted Maharaj Prataparudra. It's not like they really spent time together, but they would associate, they would meet sometimes, like that. Now the point there is, for the mercy is available to everyone. The mercy is available to everyone, and particularly to all the devotees. But in order to get the mercy, you have to be a little persistent. Do you really want the mercy or not? And Krishna, like we said earlier, don't worry. You can't really keep a secret for long. You know, it'll come out by Krishna's arrangement. So similarly, the Lord is merciful. And you cannot, if you are persistent and you don't just give up too easily, you'll get the mercy of the Lord. And Maharaj Prataparudra is perhaps the greatest example in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He had the greatest sort of obstacles, you could say, to his getting the mercy of the Lord. So we should know that the mercy of the Lord is available, but Krishna, as we were saying, don't worry, the truth will come out sooner or later. Don't worry, Krishna will test you. Hare Krishna. Don't worry. The path of Krishna consciousness is not for people attached to the idea of utopia. Even Prabhupada specifically makes this point, in that there's a letter, Prabhupada talks about this, it's a well-known letter, in which Prabhupada is referring to a situation where some devotees were not getting on. Some devotees were not getting on somewhere in America. And so Prabhupada, so the devotee, one devotee wrote to Prabhupada and was saying, living with the devotees, associating with the with these devotees. Oh my God. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, don't expect utopia. Devotees sometimes will do something to you. Either to you, or which will maybe in some cases indirectly affect you negatively. Don't worry. Don't worry. It will happen. And don't worry. The way to avoid that happening is not to leave Krishna consciousness, you know, because, you know, I'm going to get challenged at some point if I remain Krishna conscious. The answer is to really learn how to take shelter, because there will be tests. It's not a matter of if there will be. There will be tests. And as you progress, when you get tests, you will get more substantial tests. Oh, as you make advancement, you will. Because what is a test for a neophyte devotee? What is a test for a neophyte devotee? For a more advanced devotee, it's not a test. It's just, they can just take it in their stride, and it's just nothing. But as you make advancement, at least from time to time, you will get custom-built, custom-designed tests. Oh, yes. It will happen. And Krishna will be watching you to see, okay, how are you, my dear devotee, going to deal with this test? And for the neophyte devotee, it may be just some simple little thing. And for a much more senior devotee, you know, it may be something more complex. Like, how about they make you the chairman of the GPC? Talk about a test. Wow! It's unreal. Completely, totally unbelievable. The first time they made me the chairperson of the GBC, as I've mentioned a little before, when they vote on whether, you know, who will be the chairperson, they send you out of the room. So I was waiting out of the room. And I was thinking, Krishna, you can't possibly want me to be the chairperson of the GBC. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then I thought, well, you know, Krishna, if that's what you want, I'll try my best. If that's what you really want, I'll try my best. But then I thought, but Krishna, if you really want me to become chairman of the GBC, you must be crazy. Excuse me, Krishna. But seriously, that's actually what I thought. And then just to show he's got a sense of humor, he made me the chairman a second time. So, yeah, you know, depending on a person's, the sort of stage they're at, how long they've been devotees, how experienced they may or may not be, Krishna custom designs tests. And what are they for? They're not to just make life difficult and make us suffer and put us in anxiety. They're actually to challenge us to come to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. This is what they're for. I had one godbrother from England named Tribhuvana Prabhu. Some of you may have heard of him. Very unfortunately, sure, he passed away some, maybe 10 years ago perhaps. And actually he was intending coming to South Africa. We had met in Mayapur, we were talking about it. And he was such a devotee. He was such a devotee. And he also, in a personal sense, he knew Srila Prabhupada very well. They had a very close personal relationship, just talking. And Prabhupada appreciated him tremendously. So one day, Tribhuvanatha Prabhu told us, he asked Prabhupada, Will Krishna ever give a devotee a test which is so difficult that the devotee will not be able to avoid falling down? And falling down doesn't just mean, you know, taking some intoxicant or some, that sort of falling down. But really, falling down means in a more general sense of just becoming bewildered and becoming material about it and, you know, blaming Krishna or the devotees, you know. Come on, Krishna. You're meant to help your devotees. What are you doing, Krishna? I'm your devotee. Sort of, you know, scolding Krishna. It happens sometimes. It happens sometimes. So that's also, you know, just sort of succumbing to the test. So yes, true enough, Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada this. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna will never do that for his devotee. But, Prabhupada made the point, but Krishna will test. And there's an interesting discussion. If you have Prabhupada's books, the folio, what we call the folio, it's just the name of the program, the computer program, which has all of Prabhupada's books and lectures and so on. If you have that, look up acid test. Acid test. Because there's very wonderful discussion between Prabhupada and a devotee called, a few devotees actually, but particularly a devotee called Atreya Rishi, who was from Tehran. He was from Iran. And Prabhupada, I think in that discussion, was actually in Tehran. And Prabhupada's talking about this, how Krishna tests the devotees. It's an interesting discussion. And Prabhupada says that, yes, before Krishna accepts you, you know, Krishna's watching. He doesn't want to just accept, you know, anyone. Or even someone who's sort of halfway. Krishna really wants to see. And so Prabhupada says, yes, for the devotees, there is test. The acid test. Prabhupada says, like Prahlad was tested. And Prabhupada said, if you're just a fool and a rascal, then who needs to test you? It's just, you won't get tested. You know, you've already your life is a failure. Prabhupada says, but for the devotees, there is test. So Lord Chaitanya really, he's omniscient. He was not simply being principled. Although he was being principled, but he was not simply being principled, he was testing. You really want to meet me? Are you sure you really want to meet me? Are you sure you're sure? Are you sure you're sure you're sure? Let's see how sure you really are. So boy, he really put King Prataparudra to the test. And King Prataparudra came through. Although it took time. And it, you know, it was difficult and there were different steps along the way. On Gopalila night, he told one nice story. Same idea. During Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprakash Lila, where he was revealing to all the devotees for the first time in Navadvipa that he's God, and what their relationships with him were in his other incarnations like that. So one by one, Lord Chaitanya called all the devotees and revealed to them like that. And then after 21 hours, this went on for 21 hours, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, that's it, we're finished. So he had called everyone except Mukundadat, who was a very prominent devotee actually, a very popular devotee, and an amazing kirtan singer. When he would sing, sometimes rocks would melt. Did a rock ever melt when you sang? It certainly never did when I sang either. But sometimes when he would sing, rocks would melt. It was just, you know, another dimension of kirtan altogether. So Lord Chaitanya had called everyone except Mukunda. And Srivas Thakur, whose house this was going on in, he went to the Lord and said, oh, just a minute, my Lord. You've forgotten one person, I think, perhaps slipped your mind. There were so many. Maybe you just forgot him. He didn't call Mukunda. So can you just call Mukunda and then we'll finish? And Lord Chaitanya got so angry, really angry. That rascal, Mukunda, you want me to call him? I'm not going to call him. I'm never going to call him. And Lord Chaitanya said, you can tell him, I never want to see him ever again, ever. He's too offensive. And Srivas was just shocked. What do you mean he's offensive? He's so nice. And his kirtan is so wonderful. All the devotees, even at Vaishracharya, everyone loves him. What do you mean offensive? And Lord Chaitanya said that when he's with us, it's all hari hari bol. As Prabhupada said once, actually. When everything is going nicely, then anyone can dance and chant hari hari bol. So, Lord Chaitanya said, when he's with us, it's all hari hari bol, very nice. But when he goes home and associates with his family members, then sometimes he says, it's all one. And sometimes he says, Om Namo Shivaya, Durga Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Durga is the Supreme Person. So he's a hypocrite. He's dishonest. And you can tell him, I never want to see him again, ever. And Srivas was just bewildered. He never heard things like that. So Mukunda was just outside. Within earshot, he heard it all. And Srivas went to tell them, but Mukunda had already heard, and Mukunda was just brokenhearted. And he told Srivas, please go back, please beg our Lord, please be merciful to me and accept me. So Srivas went back, and Lord Chaitanya got even more angry. And he said, this Mukunda, he is the sort of person, he approaches you. In one hand, he holds out one hand, he has a nice flower. Please take this. And you think, oh, how nice, how kind. But his other hand is behind his back. And in his other hand is a club. And you accept the flower from his one hand, and out comes the other hand with the club, and bang, he hits you. He's like that. And Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, don't you ask me again to see him. You ask me again, and all of you will never see me again. And this is actually what Lord Nityananda and the other devotees were afraid of. That Lord Chaitanya was not gonna just say no to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to the request, but he was just going to hit the roof and just say, you know, I'm getting out of here. See you. Don't call me, I'll call you. So Srivas went out again, and Mukunda was just crying and crying. And he said, please explain to the Lord that my family, I'm living with this extended family, my uncles and aunts and all these people. And some of them are Mayavadis and some are Shivites and some worshippers of Durga and so on, and some of them do Kavadi, and some of them worship Madhuviran, and they're a real mixed bag, and I'm living with them, and I'm junior to many of them, and what can I do? I can't just argue with all of them. It would become impossible. I have to live with them. So I just agree. And then they go away and they leave me alone. But I don't mean it. I'm not interested. Please explain. So Srivas went back and explained to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right. You can tell Mukunda, I will see him in 10 million lifetimes. So Srivas went and told Mukunda. And Mukunda, what did he say? He didn't say, what do you mean 10 million lifetimes? Come on. Be reasonable, I'm a devotee. No. He became so happy. I'll see my Lord after 10 million lifetimes. Oh, he became so ecstatic. He became uncontrollable in ecstasy. And he was running and jumping and rolling and screaming and spinning and calling out, I will see. And Lord Chaitanya heard that. And Srivas came in. And Lord Chaitanya said, what's going on out there? What's happening? And Srivas said, it's Mukunda. He heard you'll see him in 10 million lifetimes. He's so happy. He's just so happy. And Lord Chaitanya said, ah, just bring him here now. So they went to get Mukunda, but they couldn't catch him. Because he was just running and rolling and flying and jumping so wildly, just like incredibly wildly. Eventually they caught him and they brought him. And Lord Chaitanya told him, I was just testing you. Talk about a test. Well, he said, actually, you're like my child. And sometimes the child, Mukunda's apologizing for the offenses. And the Lord said, you're like my little son. Sometimes the son hits the father and says something bad to the father. But the father doesn't care. He knows this is my son. It's just some little exchange. So like this, Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy to Mukunda. And that was a big test. I don't think any of us are going to get a test quite that drastic. But like we said, don't worry. Just don't worry. You will be tested in ways which will force you, depending on whatever your situation in Krishna consciousness is. And some are higher, some are lower, even just amongst us. Krishna will send that test, and it'll force you. He'll force you to really take shelter get off the, you know, lamentation platform and all that mental platform. So, yes. And then when you, if you pass through the test successfully, it's nectar. Then you get so much mercy. And new vistas in Krishna consciousness open up in front of you. And your whole experience becomes so much more wonderful. It's amazing. So, there you go, some thoughts based on these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with Maharaj Prataparudra, as requested by His Grace Madhu Mangal Prabhu. Hare Krishna. All right, Madhu Mangal Das. Okay, now time is marching on. I think. Do you want to say something?
I've always held this pastime of King Prataparudra as an example for us that we should always be eager to see Krishna.
Yeah. Good.
The other thing I want to ask you, to get mercy, do you have to do something to get the mercy?
Well, in general, to get the mercy, sure you have to do something. You have to do your best. You know, what is genuinely your best? And one person's best will be different from another person's best. But whatever is your best, you should really do it. You know, it doesn't mean you have to like over-endeavor and just sort of, you know, overextend yourself. You have to, on one hand, have some common sense and also take some guidance from others, you know, so you don't sort of get unbalanced in your trying your best. But the basic idea is you should try your best to maintain the standards, the principles of Krishna consciousness, I mean sadhana and so on, and just a personal character. And then you should really try to serve to your best ability, whatever that may be. Yeah, really try and serve. And then Krishna gives His mercy. Ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajanyaha. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. Of course, it's not mechanical, but still the general principle is like that.
The other thing about mercy that I can't understand, if you don't have to do something for mercy, what is causeless mercy then?
Well, causeless basically means you don't deserve it. And mercy means you don't deserve it. If you deserve something and you get it, that can't really be mercy, it's just what you deserve. But if you don't deserve, but you still get it by the kindness of some, you know, higher person, well, that, then it's mercy. And it's also causeless mercy. So mercy and causeless mercy are essentially really the same thing. But, you know, the term causeless may be used when there's a greater degree of mercifulness, where you really, really didn't deserve it. In a sort of, in a special sense, you didn't deserve it. But a very nice point, which I didn't mention, which I should have mentioned, which was stated in the verses, some of the verses, is that Maharaj Prataparudra, he was convinced, I need the mercy of the devotees. So therefore he put his message, he wrote a letter, communicated with Sarvabhauma, who was the Lord's close associate. But then he asked Sarvabhauma, please put it, read my letter to all the devotees. To all the devotees. Because without the mercy of the devotees, we can't get the mercy of the Lord. So that's also, you know, you were asking about getting the mercy, that's also an essential part of it. It's not just me and Krishna. And I just, you know, chant my rounds and do my service for Krishna, and Krishna's mercy will be there. But the devotees are an essential part of the whole situation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So now I see this arti paraphernalia here. I assume this is for us to offer arti.
It's Guru Puja to Prabhupada.
Oh, it's Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada, okay. Very good. So let us all stand up for Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada.